John Kerry said today he's absolutely taking the gloves off, and the Democratic presidential nominee later went on to punch out a tough critique of the state of the economy under President Bush.
His is the excuse presidency, never wrong, never responsible, never to blame. President Bush's desk isn't where the buck stops. It's where the blame begins.
That's John Kerry speaking today before the Detroit Economic Club. Our regular political analysts join us to talk about the presidential race, columnists E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Let's talk about this possibly new, tougher John Kerry. We saw a sag in the polls after the Republican convention. Are we seeing a different strategy here, a different John Kerry on the stump? EJ?
I think you're seeing a different strategy. I think there are two facts about this election. There are basically two majorities in the country, a narrow majority that on balance would like to replace President Bush, which is why he stayed, except for that brief period after the convention, Republican convention, in the 40% range. And then there's another majority that can't quite get itself to John Kerry. And it's a battle between those two majorities. Charlie Cook, the really good political analyst, I think summed it up well when he said, if this election is about Bush, Kerry wins. And if this election is about Kerry, Bush wins. I think since the convention, Kerry came around to that. The Bush people were already there throwing axes and trash cans and whatever they could find at John Kerry. I think John Kerry understands that he's got to make this election about George Bush if he's going to win.
David?
I must have missed that $100 million of spending against Bush all spring. Yeah, I slightly disagree. First of all, I don't think there's a majority necessarily to oust Bush. His approvals are about 52 in most of the polls. So I think that right now there's a majority, a slight majority, that would be able to live with him, if not be enthusiastic about him. I think the key fact of this election has been the shift in what people are looking for in a candidate. If you asked people in 2000, what are you looking for, they tended to mention policies. Policy ideas. If you ask them now what they're looking for, they're much more likely to mention character. And the Bush's advantage and the advantage he has now coming in is that more people see him as a strong leader. I think in the Gallup poll, I think his advantages is he a strong leader were 26 points over Kerry. So I think the character issue has just risen because of September 11th to where it wasn't in 2000.
And I think that goes to what's happening in the campaign right now. Bush wants the campaign to be about vague personal things like character. He does not want the discussion to be about, say, what is happening in Iraq, what is happening in the economy. So I think you're going to see a Bush campaign pushing exactly in the direction David is talking about, and a Kerry campaign saying, wait a minute, what about the specifics? Shouldn't Bush be held accountable?
Yeah. Bush does talk about leadership divorced from the consequences of leadership. I do sort of agree with that. On the other hand, I think Kerry's making a big mistake to outmanliness Bush, because what you see is John Kerry toting a gun, John Kerry throwing a football, John Kerry doing the war hero thing at his convention. I just don't think that's where he's ever going to get an advantage. And I think he's made a mistake, and probably too late now to change, in just on character terms, trying to turn this into a contest of sort of manly men.
What we heard in John Kerry's speech today was a real strong focus on economic issues. And one thing that was new was this echoing of the analysis that was in yesterday's Washington Post, which said that the Bush agenda, as it was laid out at the convention, would cost well over $3 trillion over a decade if those tax cuts are made permanent and we take on the new programs that the president's proposed. Is this something that's making fiscal conservatives absolutely aghast, EJ?
Well, I think it's making fiscal moderates absolutely aghast. I was struck with a couple of Clintonian flourishes here. First of all, there is a middle-of-the-road voter that really doesn't like high deficits. Bush has been constantly attacking Kerry for his spending plans. Finally, Bush's own combination of tax and spending plans are on the table. Secondly, there was a line in that speech today where Kerry said, our plan is pro-worker and pro-business. I'm an entrepreneurial Democrat, and I don't believe you can love jobs but bash the people who create them. So Kerry is trying to find that balance that Clinton had between a certain populism, which says the big guys in charge are doing a lousy job by you, and at the same time saying, but I am pro-business and want to do this the right way.
David Brooks, can John Kerry get traction on the economy, do you think?
Well, he does have an advantage there. I think if you actually look at his economic policy, it's sort of a center, maybe even a center-right economic policy. He talks about tax cuts for corporations. He talks in a Wall Street Journal piece today about doubling the amount of tax cuts for individuals compared to the Bush administration. It strikes one, as you read the substance of it, as quite a centrist policy. On the stump, he combines a bunch of different things. One is this emphasis on outsourcing, and he's got a very small and really meaningless anti-outsourcing program. And then he's got the rhetoric, which we're now beginning to see, as you mentioned, about the Bush spending. And it's interesting, this focus on Bush spending. It certainly is a different focus than used to be on the Republicans in the Gingrich years when they were attacked for being, you know, stingy and mean. Now they're attacked for being profligate. It does have fiscal moderates very nervous. And I think what you see in both campaigns is promises, 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 lots of spending ideas. I think that hurts neither of them in this campaign. There's never been a candidate who succeeded at this stage in the election who tries to balance the budget. They just throw it out the window and promise everything.
Actually, I think at the end of the campaign, the Democrats really are going to be arguing that the Republicans are stingy, mean, and profligate all at the same time.
Having it both ways. The election is 48 days away, and I'd like to ask you both how you see the shape of the race as it evolves over the next 48 days. Will we see a different campaign? David Brooks?
Personally, I think Democrats are much too gloomy right now. Kerry's down by, say, 5 or 6 points if you average most of the polls. And I've spoken to a lot of Democrats who are doing sort of pre-mortems on what went wrong. I just think that, you know, if you look at Kerry's approval ratings, they're low. The Washington Post did a funny thing comparing them to Joe McCarthy's and Martha Stewart's, and Kerry was sort of in there with Martha Stewart, Joe McCarthy, and O.J. Simpson. Nonetheless, he's not that bad a candidate. And when people see him again in the polls, they're going to say, hey, he's not so bad after all. And so I think there will be a rise. There will be another tightening.
That's David Brooks giving the Democrats reason to be happy. E.J., what do you think?
Well, I think it's very good that David is a compassionate conservative trying to cheer Democrats up. And I think his point is basically right, that Democrats cannot move from complacency in August to panic in September and expect to win the election. I think in August they had a vision that this was going to be easier than they thought, that if only they showed John Kerry was good enough, he could get elected president. That analysis was not correct. But David's absolutely right. These polls have tightened up. In fact, some of the polls which showed an exceptional and I think exaggerated Bush lead may actually play to Kerry's advantage toward the end of this month when they try to create a comeback story. I think there is a strong Democratic base in this election. Kerry's got to add about 5 or 6 points to it. That's not a hard reach, but he needs a coherent campaign and a more focused campaign than he certainly had in the month of August.
Well, he's got to figure out what he stands on Iraq. That's become the symbolic issue to his character. And the problem is he's got a split Democratic Party. I think 50-odd percent of Democrats want to just get out of Iraq. Almost 40% want to stay in and fight. And so the party is sort of split along that lines. He's just got to pick a side.
Except the difficulty is he's dealing with a policy that's handed to him by Bush. Iraq is a mess, and there aren't a lot of good answers. Bush doesn't have very many good answers either, so that solving the problem David describes, I think what he needs to do is give a crisp 30-second answer explaining the two votes, stay with that answer, and then go on the attack and say, why are things such a mess in Iraq?
You think there is a 30-second answer that will explain those two votes?
I think the two votes are quite explicable. I think the first vote is when the president's going to the UN and negotiating to try to get Saddam, I was not going to undercut him. The second time when the president said he didn't want to pay for this by having a tiny little tax cut on the wealthy, I wanted to cast a protest vote for that. I think those are two reasonable positions.
Well, I think that was 19 seconds that you did that in.
Thank you.
Well, it's not only the two votes. It's things he said. He said flat out, we've got to send in more troops. He said flat out, we got to pull our troops home. He said flat out, this is the wrong war. He said it flat out that anybody who doesn't recognize this was a war worth doing doesn't deserve to be president. I mean, there have been categorical statements on both sides.
E.J. and David, thanks very much.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and Brookings Institution and David Brooks of the New York Times.